somebody who was faced with, in fact, just at the time, a girlfriend who also didn't actually do sci-fi, decided that the best way to actually cope with this was run your own sci-fi festival.
Of course.
Yeah, this way, if you could work through that, educational, the whole, always the best way forward.
Yep.
10 years later, that's become one of the premier events in the country, of course, supported by SFX magazine and heaps of others, with lots of authors, lots of fantastic things. It's had lots of our correspondents, Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore, are going down there. I'm hoping to get down there for the first time myself this year. Rebecca, hopefully you'll be joining us. We say the magical words, creator and founder of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, Louis Savvy.
Good morning. How are you doing,
Alex? There we are. Fantastic. Sorted through. And I am fairly right in terms of that. Yeah, you were also faced with somebody who said, I just don't do sci-fi, really.
Pretty much. It was, and 10 years later, it's still the same conversation. With, you know, not with my partner, but you know, that conversation is still going on. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Well, it's like, listen, it's St. Patrick's Day. What better way than spreading the word? You know,
exactly.
St. Patrick, probably an early case of being a sci-fi fantasy hero. You know, going over to Ireland, sorting the whole thing through, all of these scenarios, etc. In fact, you could almost argue that the Bible itself, going even further back, is a wonderful exercise in speculative fiction, science work, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to actually sort of deal with any accusations of blasphemy on that particular side of things, but we'll look for it.
Yeah, I'm not fielding any calls for you.
Very true. The thing I liked about Louis, of course, is when he had to look at the running order, he said, well, I'd be quite happy to talk for the full 2 hours. We don't. We'll have to do his own show. It's quite rightly so true for that.
Not a problem.
It's great. Now, as I say, this is the 10th year. I can't believe we've headed into that. I wanted to spend a little while talking about the Science Fiction Author Awards that are coming up as well with the whole thing. But with the Arthur C. Clarke nominations, of course, for Sci-Fi London. How would you briefly define science fiction for somebody like Rebecca, let's say, good level one journalist, sort of working through the whole thing? She's seeking information.
Okay. Well, there are two definitions that I would use. One is the sort of accurate, slightly geeky definition, which is it's fiction that contains references or deals with scientific principles, which are either known or unknown, and the outcomes of those. So, you know, there's a kind of technical, if you like, you know, proper science fiction has to have science and fiction in it. But the kind of the slightly better example would be that science fiction is the only place you can really deal with what if. Because you can have a what if in a love story, you know, what if he gets the girl and so on. But really, sci-fi deals with, you know, putting a mirror up against society today and the outcomes of what we're doing, you know, genetic modification, you know, tampering with DNA, you know, meltdowns in Japan. It's a very, very serious situation with a nuclear power station, you know, currently. And I'm sure, you know, in 10 years' time, there'll be a film that comes that uses it as a basis for a science fiction film, you know, and the outcomes of that. And science fiction deals with all of those things. Good science fiction has science and fiction in it, but is also very good drama or romance or comedy. You know, the best science fiction films are the one where you don't notice it's a spaceship or in space or that there's bug-eyed monsters. And I would quote things like Galaxy Quest as a really good movie. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend that's one to put on your list as someone who doesn't like science fiction or thinks they don't like it, to go and see that, because it's a fabulous comedy. Sliding Doors could be a science fiction film.
Really?
It deals with parallel universes. You know, science fiction is a very, very wide genre. And again, you know, in horror or in westerns, you're kind of restricted to fairly narrow subject matters, if you like, and very narrow kinds of storytelling. But in science fiction, you can deal with, you know, whether the soul exists, and if you had one, could you transfer it to a computer or to another person? What would happen if, you know, in the lab, if people are splicing different animal genes together to try and create a tastier cow, and they put human DNA in that, you know, what would the outcome be? Would that creature become human? What would we have to kill it? You know, there's so many things that you can deal with in that, but you can also have a lot of fun. You know, some of the best love stories are in science fiction films. Solaris, the George Clooney version of that film, in particular, is a fantastic romance.
I'm just going to put in a little bit now for my movie of the year so far, movie of 2011, which I'd say is very much science fiction, and I'd say it's The Adjustment Bureau. Go and see The Adjustment Bureau.
Another
love story. It's a really lovely romance film.
Matt Damon and Emily Blunt on top form, really. And Matt in particular sort of putting all thoughts of his incarnation of Daredevil's Matt Murdock to one side, really, and actually taking a whole new line for the whole thing, really. It's excellent stuff there. So, and Emily Blunt's always quite nice from that point of view. And in the same line as Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, being John Malkovich, all without bug-eyed monsters and so on and so forth. Lauren Bukes, Ian McDonald, Patrick Ness, Richard Powers, Tim Powers, and Tricia Sullivan. Yes, the nominations for the Arthur C. Clarke 2011 Award, which will be announced on Wednesday the 27th of April at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. I feel as though I should really have an envelope here. And time jump our way through that.
Do you know what? There is never an envelope until about 5 minutes before they announce the award. They really are very secret.
Oh, yes, I see. I mean, what happens if there's a stationery shortage? You know, do they have a memory stick?
We'll use a gadget. It's a science fiction, film festival. Someone will have an iPad.
I can go with respect to that. I'm going to actually try and make it to actually read most of these beforehand, because I think we should actually sort of work through that whole thing. But let's take Lauren Bukes to start off with a prose style that Paul Cornell, of course, has written for Doctor Who, amongst others, has called Jeff Noon crossed with Raymond Chandler. South African Bukes is attracting a huge critical acclaim. She's a scriptwriter and a recovering journalist.
Recovering from what? What did she do?
Not that I want to worry you, Rebecca, because I know you're already fretting about the wind changing, etc., the earthquake we had in Lincoln, but a recovering journalist. And in her novel Zoo City, she pulls together elements of noir, cyberpunk and urban fantasy to show us a downright scary near-future Johannesburg through the eyes of Zinzi December, a troubled soul who has a talent for locating hard-to-find objects.
There you go. See, that sounds interesting, doesn't it, Rebecca?
Yeah.
And we just want to clarify, Richard Powers and Tim Powers are indeed, they're not related.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, because Richard Powers, known by most as a heavyweight literary novelist, Powers returns again and again to the theme of how technology and science impact on our day-to-day lives. As well as being a prize-winning author, Powers is Swanland Professor of English at the University of Illinois. Generosity, his novel, an entry into the Arthur C. Clarke, or nominated entry for the Arthur C. Clarke Award, is based on the old chestnut, What If You Could Bottle a Cheerful Person's Happiness?
Fantastic. See, again, it's
deep.
I'd like to have Essence of Rebecca Friis Jansen, please. Mixed with a little dash of Joy Knight. a little smidgen of Sonny Chavora. A Soussan of Julie Corden. And perhaps just Essence of Natalie Smith.
Yeah.
Interesting line of that one. And the novel, of course, Generosity, which is the whole thing from that point of view. The third one we're going to consider at this stage, Tim Powers, as we mentioned, best known for his Secret Histories novels that spin off real events in fantastical ways. His On Stranger Tides provides the basis for the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie, in fact. Declare, his novel for the Arthur C. Clarke Award, has been around for a while. In fact, it won the World Fantasy Award and International Horror Guild Award in 2001. That's an interesting one, isn't it, Louis? I mean, actually, it's already won an award 10 years ago. Is it time jumped?
If I'm really honest, I'm not sure quite how they got to this in the shortlist.
The best I can see is that it only got a first UK publication last year.
Yeah, the rules are it has to be within the 12-month period and published in the UK. So because of that, that it fits the rules, but it's a 10-year-old book. The Clarke Award is always controversial amongst people who read a lot of science fiction. I'll say that.
That sounds fine. It's a Cold War thriller which features the traitorous British spy Kim Philby. A line for Tricia Sullivan, American emigre in Shropshire. Sullivan took the 1999 Clarke for Dreaming in Smoke, which was her last award, a cyberpunk-infused take on the idea of terraforming. Lightborn, her entry this year, turns on the idea that a mind-altering technology could be the cakes again. It's gone badly wrong, a typical Sullivan setup in that despite their extraordinary circumstances, it enables her to engage with characters. Again, it boils down to that, characters, plot. You know, people say, why was Star Trek so successful? Why was Doctor Who so successful? We might ask Annika Wills, who's hopefully joining us next week, the original Polly in Doctor Who, etc. The whole range of things, or Strange Report and heaps of others. It boils down ultimately to characters. Would you say that, Louis?
Yes, there we are. Short answer. Yeah. The conversation I have a lot with filmmakers is, I don't have budget to make science fiction film. And the answer pretty much always is, well, what do you need the budget for? You know, you need a good story, you need good actors, great performances, and then tell it in a different way rather than thinking about how much it's going to cost to create, you know, rubber suits that are convincing. It's all about the story. It's all about the plot.
Monsters of Men is the entry from Patrick Ness. It's the finale of the Chaos Walking sequence, a dystopian tale of life on the Christian colonised planet's New World. And again, it's effectively from an author who brought us an original outfit advert for a California garlic festival. Can't have too many of those, can you? It's all very well talking about, you know, the excitement of the San Diego Comic Con, but where's the Californian Garlic Festival in all this multinational planning?
Exactly.
Something we need to ask.
Let's set one up.
You know, we'll write that down, Louis.
Garlic Festival.
You heard it here first,
exactly. Precisely. And finally this year, Ian MacDonald, three times previously nominated for the Clark Award. MacDonald, quite simply one of Britain's major science fiction novelists. The Dervish House explores themes such as nanotechnology, supercharged hypercapitalism, and the surveillance society against a backdrop of Istanbul 2027, a multi-stranded novel full of big ideas. Of course, there is a sort of theme which suggests that, you know, after 2012 we won't be here in any case, so 2027 it's ridiculous.
Great things are looking.
it's just so fantastic. I'm looking at the website, Louis, for Sci-Fi London, the film festival, 23rd of April to the 2nd of May 2011 from that point of view. It's looking gorgeous, as they used to say in Heart to Heart.
Thank you very much. Not much of the programme there at the moment, though. We're just putting the dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the programme and hoping that we'll announce it early next week.
The bottom line, Louis, is in previous years we've kind of caught up with you either literally on the day of the festival, the launch day, or perhaps like 24 hours beforehand, and they say, no, it's 10th anniversary, 2011 is going to be different. We're going to show our support for the midweek drive team on Siren FM and indeed Soundside Broadcasting right from the get-go here and actually follow the whole thing through. Fantastic. And obviously connect with that. Alan Stevens, I know, and Fiona Moore are keen to come down and do a few pieces as well in their guise as CaldorCity.com things. And who knows, we might even meet Dave Bradley, who, as you mentioned, is joining us in a few moments with, of course, SFX magazine, which... what the hey? I will say it's the country's premier science fiction magazine. Obviously, there's Sci-Fi Now and lines from that point of view. I mean, we're looking at the current edition of Post over there of Chris Hemsworth as Thor. In fact, actually, the April edition features what can almost be described as a kind of blonde Rebecca Ferris Jansson lookalike from Sucker Punch, the movie, which was possible.
Oh my God!
I'd like to sort of consider from that point of view. So we'll talk more about SFX there. Louis, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Rebecca, or indeed suggestions about what maybe she should expect? You know, you're signed up and she can come down to London and join us at this grand event.
Well, if the suggestions are, is just come with an open mind, really, and come and have some fun. It's, you know, we do have some, you know, hardcore, serious, cliche, geeks at the event, but you find those at football matches and at Wimbledon. So, we're people just the same.
You are human.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of us are. But we've got some fantastic film, and we cover the whole spectrum of, you know, without sounding ridiculous, you know, the human condition, really. You know, we've got love and anger and hate and revenge and, you know, all of the sort of classic things.
Keep the anger and hate and revenge to one side, you know. Let's focus on the positive things.
When you've got, you know, big guns as well, you know, then that's the stuff for some science fiction.
I'm intrigued, and I hope that some of our media production students at Lincoln, and probably other universities as well, might actually sort of be looking for this 48-hour film challenge to actually make a film in 2 days.
Absolutely. It's probably our most important edition of the challenge. Back in 2008, we ran the competition, and John Landis was on the jury, and a young special effects guy said, said to himself, I want to make a film that John Landis will watch.
Just for Rebecca's information, Andy Douglas, the John Landis director of the Blues Brothers and indeed American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, and the Thriller Booty video and Trading Places, and he's made some fantastic films. And this guy was a huge fan and said, I want to make a film so John Landis will see it, which means I've got to get into the shortlist. So he bought himself this special attachment for a Sony HD camera, which made it look like film. Went out and shot, came to the 48-hour film challenge, made his little 5-minute film with four friends, and it went all the way through the process, and he won. And his name is Gareth Edwards. And
hence the reason we are looking for the next Gareth Edwards.
Exactly.
I thought, are you looking to clone the guy? What's happening here?
Well, he's if we can, I'm sure we can cause some controversy there, and I've got plenty of science fiction films that will give us some of the outcomes. But Vertigo Films saw his short film, thought it was fantastic, and said, if you can do that in 2 days with no money, let's try and make a feature film together. And they made a movie called Monsters, which opened to critical acclaim, across the world. I think the DVD's out mid-April. And in fact, the short film he made for our competition will be on the disc as one of the extras. But more importantly, this year Gareth has persuaded Vertigo Films to get heavily involved with that, with the challenge, and they've put a prize up of a feature film development deal. So the winning film this year, they will sit down with those filmmakers and try and turn it into a feature film. And if they can't do that, then they can pitch a slate of ideas, and they will try and make a feature film with them this year. So we literally are looking for the next Gareth Edwards and Monsters. If you haven't seen that, Rebecca, that is a fantastic love story, set 6 years into the future after an alien life form has landed, has come to the planet.
Not, of course, that we're being cliche-ridden here. I mean, Rebecca, you might well actually sort of want to slam down.
And it's got aliens from outer space in it, but it's absolutely not a cliche at all. It is such a great, great, gentle movie. And what was really interesting is that they shot it. The only two actors in it are the leading couple. Everyone else was improvised, and it was all done. It was shot in Mexico. And they fell in love on the shoot and got married. So they found each other across this love story that was made. But it's a science fiction film. It's definitely very heavily science fiction. In all of the things it deals with. So we're looking for that to happen again. We want to try to help incubate filmmakers to make low budget, interesting performance and story-led science fiction, the sort of opposite to the stuff with, that Star Trek would deliver, as much as I love that film.
I should hope so too. Obviously Star Trek doing some wonderful stuff in its own routine, and of course bringing with us infinite diversity in infinite combinations.
Sure.
So last night, Louis, we were speaking to our triple Emmy award winning and double anime Annie award winning writer Tom Shepard, who is currently working on the new animation versions of Green Lantern. So yep. Great stuff on that one. I won't go into the Green Lantern spiel here because Rebecca heard it all last night, but there we are. You can listen to it again, it's online on our website, etc. Rebecca, would you like to throw those last two questions at Monsieur Savi, please?
Indeed. Have you enjoyed your chat with us this morning?
I always enjoy a chat with you lot. It's nice to hear certainly with Alex, nice to hear someone who knows his stuff. And
You don't get this with a lot of radio stations, do you? But hopefully with a touch of edge to just keep the thing going. I can't be doing with this notion of, Sci-Fi London, so where's the Doctor Who scarf then? Oh, please.
Yeah. And it's all the way down in London.
Precisely so. So the next crucial question, Rebecca, is...
Will you be joining us again soon?
Yes, please.
Good. Good answer.
Obviously, I need to do my job, which is to plug the festival's website.
I was going to say the www.sci-fi-london.com.
That's it. Or you can actually type in Sci-Fi London as one word.
Genius.
Sci-fi-london.com.
You said we might be releasing some stuff next week. I might actually sort of invite you to join us next week, actually, just to give us an update on how things are going, Louis. If that's
no
okay.
Problem. If you want me once a week. Up until the festival.
I like this guy. Can we have him back?
Two things right now, though. One is because last night I confirmed our closing night film, which we're really excited about. It's called Super, and it stars Rainn Wilson, who people might know as Dwight Schrute from the American version of The Office.
Yes.
And he plays a character called Frank, who dresses up as a superhero and wanders around his local American town because his wife has been stolen away from him by a very smooth operator in the town. The smooth operator is Kevin Bacon, and the wife is Liv Tyler. And he decides that the way to get her back is to become this, you know, super character.
I've tried that so often. It
just doesn't work, does it, Alex?
He teams up with a girl in a local comic shop who's played by Ellen Page, and it's fabulously funny, and it makes Kick-Ass look a bit ridiculous, really. It's a very, very much
it literally
more of a grown-up.
Kick-asses.
Amazing.
It's quite amazing here.
Yeah, but that's our closing night film, and we confirmed that last night. And the other thing I wanted to plug is, if you're stuck with something to do for the royal wedding,
this could be good with Richard Williams, of course.
Or you want to come down to London and don't fancy camping out on the Mall. Then we're running a royal wedding all-nighter at the Apollo on the Thursday night. Buckley's on arrival.
I thought the band had disbanded. Have they got back together again? Making your mind up. Genius. Land of make-believe.
Exactly.
They could do a Land of make-believe. They could go to that. Camera never lies.
I see what you did there. Yeah, we're showing Bride of Frankenenstein, Bride of the Monster, Bride of the Gorilla.
Everything you need
vanishes,
to celebrate the royal wedding.
And I married a witch. It's 8:30 in the morning, and you can just walk. We're literally 500 yards from the Mall. You just walk down and join the wedding parade.
What better way to celebrate? So,
exactly.
Kate, why haven't you got the Elsa Lanchester style? You know, why hasn't Prince William said, "We belong dead," and other such things?
Well, I have to say this as well. On the 24th of Easter Sunday, 24th of April, we have an Easter parade from the BFI South Bank along past the Eye towards the London Film Museum. We've got about 150 stormtroopers coming, about 400 zombies, superheroes, all sorts of any and anyone's welcome. It's free to turn up in any kind of film costume.
We're going to talk about that.
But our pace setters are a zombie Will and Kate.
Jeez. We need to put Louis together with our royal correspondent Richard Fitzwilliams. You know,
they'll be very entertaining.
Or we
start
talking Morris dancing as well. Could be carnage.
Yeah.
Anyway, Louis Savvy, www.scifilondon.com. You will return.
Thank you very much.